having this audience. Mary Foates, may I see your hand, please? Very good. How many of you do not know? Oh, we have a few of those, huh? Do we have any perfect marriages among us? If you have a perfect marriage, would you stand up? I said that some time ago to an audience of about 1,500. I said, how many of you have a perfect marriage? If you have a perfect marriage, would you stand up? And there was a guy in the audience that stood. His wife did not stand, but he stood. I heard about a guy that had a perfect marriage until he got back from his honeymoon. You know, life can begin to happen after the honeymoon. And one day the new bride did something that he did not like, and he said, that was dumb. You ever heard that, ladies? He said, that was dumb with a capital D. How could anybody so beautiful be so dumb? She said, God made me that way. He said, what? She said, God made me that way. She said, God made me beautiful so you would be interested in me. God made me dumb so I would be interested in you. And he was a loser, wouldn't you say? Married people can be losers, and we're living in a losing world. Born losers and natural losers. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Tonight, I do not stand before losers. I stand before winners. I stand before winners. I mean, anybody who would take the time to come to church on a Tuesday night in August has to be crazy, or he's got to be a winner. And I believe that I stand before God's winners tonight, grateful for your presence, and may God bless the study of His Word. You've heard of PowerPoint? I have my PowerPoint. This is the power, and I point to it, okay? Do you have your Bible tonight? Let me see your Bible. Let's get a Bible count. That's awesome. Very good, very good. It's a big book, as I told you the other day. A lot of chapters in the Bible, a lot of books in the Bible. As I told you, sometimes I like to say that the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Sometimes I like to say that the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, basic inquiries before leaving earth. Because this book is filled with a number of wonderful questions. For example, I think about the question that Job asked in chapter 14 and verse 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? And the question the psalmist asked in Psalm 85 and verse 6, will you not revive us again, O God, that your people may rejoice in you? And the question that Gideon asked in Judges 6 and verse 13, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And Jesus' great question in Matthew 16 and verse 26, what does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then there's that great question in the book of Acts, Acts 16 and verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's question in Romans 8 and verse 31. If God is with us, who can be against us? So the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, basic inquiries before leaving earth. Well, what I want to do for a few minutes tonight, I want to take you back to a question in the Bible. In the old Bible, a question that was asked and a question that demands an answer. I'm glad you're here. I want you to open your Bibles, please. The book that you hold in your hand, take that Bible and go with me to the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 18. Chapter 18, the book of Genesis. If you've been with us for the last 2 days, you know we've been emphasizing what does the Bible say. And Sunday morning in the class, we started out by talking about what the Bible says about worship. God is spirit, and they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And then on Sunday morning, we talked about hope. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. And then on Sunday night, we talked about evangelism. Jesus said, go tell what the Lord has done for you. And then last night, do you remember last night's lesson? We talked about salvation. What must I do to be saved? Jesus said, anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So we're emphasizing the theme, what the Bible says. And tonight, what the Bible says about God. We sang about God, George. Thank you for those good songs. What does the Bible say about God? Well, there's a question in Genesis 18 that I want you to notice. Look with me, please, to verse 14. Verse 14 of Genesis 18. Here's the question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe you remember the story. Abraham's a very old man. He's almost 90 years old. Is there anybody in this audience who's 90 years old? Jack, you told me you were 90 years old. Are you teasing? 90 and 1 month. I tell you, you would pass for a guy in your 70s. You really would. God has blessed you. God's been good to you. Well, Abraham was about 90 years old. And God came to Abraham, and God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be Isaac, and you're going to be the father of all nations. And what did Abraham do, audience? Scripture says he laughed. He said, ha, 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 ha. Maybe you heard about the guy sitting down at the airport. He was sitting by himself. Nobody was sitting with him. Sitting all alone. And every few minutes he would just burst out laughing. Nobody was sitting with him. He was just sitting by himself. And every few minutes he would just, ha, ha, ha. And that was a guy watching from a distance. And you know, curiosity killed the cat. And curiosity got the best of this guy. And so he marched over there. The stranger marched over there and said to this guy, excuse me, sir, may I ask you, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm sitting here waiting on my plane, and I thought I would pass the time of day by telling myself a few jokes. And the other fellow, the stranger, said, excuse me, telling yourself a few jokes? He said, yeah, you know, I'm just passing some time, and I thought I would tell myself a few jokes. And the other fellow said, you know, sir, I've been watching for a while, and maybe I'm wrong, but it appeared to me that a few minutes ago you laughed harder at one than you did at the others. He said, yeah, I had never heard that one before. And what some of you have just done is what Abraham did. When Abraham found out he was going to be a daddy, Abraham said, ha, ha, ha. Have you heard the news? Jack and Dorothy are expecting a little baby. What would you do if you found out that they were expecting a baby? You would do what you've just done, right? You would laugh. And that's what Abraham did. Yeah, right. Well, that's Genesis chapter 17. The very next chapter, Genesis chapter 18, God comes to Sarah. And God says, Sarah, you're going to have a baby. His name's going to be Isaac, and you're going to be the mother of all nations. And guess what Sarah did? Sarah followed suit. Sarah said, yeah. She laughed too. And on that occasion, God asked this question. Genesis 18 and verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, brothers and sisters, I want to ask you the very same question tonight. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there any disease that God cannot heal? Is there any sickness that God cannot cure? Is there any sin that God cannot forgive? Is there any church that God cannot grow? Is there any marriage that God cannot strengthen? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to the question comes in the prayer of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah the prophet prayed, nothing is too hard for you. And the answer to the question comes in the statement of our Lord and Savior Jesus in Matthew 19 and verse 26 when Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. With God in your life, the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus in your life, nothing is too hard for the Lord. You're in Genesis 18. Flip back to Genesis 14. A few pages backward to Genesis 14. And notice how God is described in Genesis 14 and verse 18. Notice the description of God. He's talking about Melchizedek, the king of Salem. He was the priest of the, what does your Bible say? Of the Most High God. Maybe your Bible says he was the priest of the Almighty God. If I were to ask you to describe God with one word, how would you describe God? You might say, well, God is kind, God is good, God is compassionate, God is forgiving. I tell you, who God is. He's the Almighty God. He's the God Most High. He's the Most High God. And the answer to Genesis 18 and verse 14 is found in Genesis 14 and verse 18. Let me say it again. The answer to Genesis 18 and verse 14 is in Genesis 14 and verse 18. God is the Almighty God. And if God is the Almighty God, if nothing is too hard for the Lord, what does that mean for our lives? What does that mean? Monday through Saturday. Well, let me tell you what it means. In the first place, it means that we ought to seek God. If He's the Lord Almighty, if nothing is too hard for the Lord, number one, we ought to seek Him. We ought to look for Him. We ought to want to be near Him. We ought to draw ourselves to God. When you hear the word seek, I don't know what comes to your mind. I think about the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33. Tomorrow night, God willing, we're going to be talking about what the Bible says about priorities. And we're going to be talking about putting God first. Seek ye first. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I think about Matthew chapter 6, but I also think about Matthew chapter 7. What did Jesus say? In the greatest sermon that was ever preached, it was not preached by Mark. It was not preached by me. It was preached by our brother, King Jesus. The great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, ask and it shall be seek. There's the word seek. And you'll... And it shall be... I tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't know of anything we can't pray about. God says, I want you to seek me. I want you to find me. I want a relationship with you. You're my children. I want to know you. I want you to know me. I don't know of anything we can't pray about. I have prayed about lawnmowers. I have prayed about septic tanks. I have prayed for washers and dryers. I have prayed for preachers and missionaries and elders and deacons and youth ministers. Oh, Tyler, have I prayed for those youth ministers? See, I don't know of anything we can't pray about. Some time ago, I lost my billfold. You ever lost your billfold? It's a terrible thing, right? I mean, your money, your cards, your license. I didn't know where it was. I went to bed praying about it, woke up the next day praying about it. Would it surprise you if I were to tell you the very same day, the day after losing my billfold, I found it? See, I don't know of anything we can't pray about. Paul put it like this in Philippians 4 and verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Don't be anxious. What does that mean? Cornbread language, don't worry. You ever worry? What do the people out here in California worry about? Earthquakes, huh? Back in the South, tornadoes. Out here in California, it's earthquakes. Maybe you worry about your health, your job, your money, your future, your kids. See, I don't know what you worry about. But Paul said, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing but. First of all, it tells us what not to do. Don't worry, but he says, let me tell you what you ought to do. In everything. He didn't say in the big stuff. He didn't say in the spiritual stuff. He didn't say in church matters. He said in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Seek God's blessing. You know what he's saying? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. If I were to ask you, my family and I share a prayer together, A, every day, B, sometimes, C, very seldom, or D, not at all, what would you say? I'm not talking about the prayers that you pray before you eat. I assume you do that, right? You're not heathen. You're good people, church-going people. But I'm not talking about mealtime prayers, prayers before breakfast or lunch or dinner. I'm talking about special prayers, devotional prayers. My family and I share a prayer together, A, every day, B, sometimes, C, very seldom, or D, not at all. What would you say? I think I know, because I've done that survey all across America. And 90% of the time when I ask that question, you know the number one answer? The number one answer, C, very seldom do we pray. Very seldom do we pray as a family. The number two answer, 90% of the time, D, we never pray as a family. We never pray. Well, families that pray together, that's right. That's not a little trite statement. It's a true statement. It's kind of like a triangle. God up here at the top, husband here at the base, wife here at the base. The closer the husband and wife are getting to God, guess what? The closer they're getting to one another. Families that pray together, stay together. You want a greater marriage. You want a greater church. You want a greater job. Seek God's blessing. If is the Almighty God. If nothing is too hard for the Lord, number one, we ought to seek Him. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Don't worry. Pray. But let me tell you something else, folks. If God is who He claims to be, the Almighty God, if nothing is too hard for the Lord, we not only need to seek Him, we need to share Him. Now, I know that on Sunday night I talked to you about evangelism. We talked about go tell what the Lord has done for us, right? We call it the Great Charge, the Great Commission. Do you realize it's found in all four gospel accounts? Matthew, Mark. We studied from Mark on Sunday night what the Bible says about evangelism. But it's also found in Luke and in John, Matthew's account of the Great Charge, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, Jesus said, Hey, church, all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then He said, go ye therefore and make disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then He tells us how to do it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded. And Jesus said, hey, if you'll do that, I'll be with you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. That's Matthew's account of the Great Charge. In the Gospel of Mark, you hear these words. Again, we studied from it last night. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everybody. Anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Do you also realize the Great Charge can be found in Luke? Luke 24 and verse 47, Jesus said that repentance, a change, a surrender, and remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, should be preached in His name among all nations, starting at Jerusalem. And then John, put it like this, John said in John 20 and verse 21, he quotes Jesus. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me. And audience, why was Jesus sent? Well, He was sent to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And I'm just saying to you, if God is who He claims to be, if He's the Almighty God, the Most High God, if nothing is too hard for the Lord, yes, let's seek Him, but let's also share Him. You say, Brother Keith, I'm not a preacher. I'm not like Mark. I've never been to school. I've never majored in Bible. I've never taught a Bible class. I've never preached a sermon. I'm not an evangelist. I don't know how to share Jesus. Let me ask you. Do you think you could go home tonight, get on the phone, and call a neighbor or friend and say, hey, we're having a revival at church? Do you think you could go home tonight and get on the phone and maybe call your neighbor? We'll call him Sammy. Hey, Sammy, I should have said something before now, but down at the Lassen Street Church, we're having what we call a gospel meeting. We've got a guest preacher in. And he's talking to us from the Bible. And I tell you what, Sammy, I'd like to ask you to come and eat dinner with me tomorrow night. And that gets Sammy's attention. You want me to eat dinner with you? Yeah, I tell you what we'll do. We'll just go up here to Chick-fil-A. We'll have dinner together. And Sammy says, man, I like that chicken. Yeah, what time? Well, let's meet there at 5 o'clock. We can visit and have dinner. And then we'll go to church. And Sammy says, well, tomorrow night, Wednesday, I don't think I've got anything going. Sure, I'll be there. What time? 5 o'clock. Sammy says, I'll see you at 5. And surely enough, 5 o'clock comes. And you meet at Chick-fil-A and you have dinner and you come down here. And old Sammy hears this great singing that we heard a few minutes ago. Thank you, George. And he hears these prayers that are prayed from the heart. And he gets into the Word of God and he says, you know, that makes sense to me. And you say, Sammy, I tell you what, you ought to come back next Sunday and hear our preacher. Oh, Mark is good. He knows what he's talking about. Well, what time? And you tell him the time. 10 o'clock for Bible study, 10:50 for worship. And old Sammy shows up at 10:50 this coming Sunday morning. And he gets into the Word of God and he says, man, that guy knows what he knows what he's talking about. That guy's, your preacher is good. Well, Sammy, why don't you just start coming here? Well, I don't have a church home. Why not? And so Sammy comes, gets to know you and your love, and he sees your love. And he comes for 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe he comes for 3 or 4 months. And after 3 or 4 weeks, maybe after 3 or 4 months, as you're singing the invitation song, just as I am, the most amazing thing happens. Guess what happens? Sammy, your friend that you invited to this revival, steps out into one of these aisles and he comes forward and he says, you know, I don't know a lot, but I do know what Jesus said. And in March 16, I think it is, March 16, anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I believe in Jesus, and I want to give up my sin, and I want to be baptized. And so he goes back to one of these rooms, he changes clothes, and he goes down into the baptistry, and Brother Mark says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. And he pushes old Sammy out of the water, brings him up, and we say, wow, Sammy's just started coming to church here. He's been saved. Sammy was baptized. Who saved him? Who converted him? I tell you what happened. A friend invited him. A neighbor said to a neighbor, a friend said to a friend, we're having a revival at our church. Why don't you come and be with us? Do you think you can do that tonight? Go home and just get on the phone and call a neighbor friend and invite somebody to come back with you tomorrow night to hear what the Bible says about priorities, putting first things first. Sometimes that's all it takes. A neighbor saying to a neighbor. A friend saying to a friend, we're having a Bible study at our church. Several years ago, in a ghetto in Chicago, Illinois, a little boy was born. He was born handicapped. I have a handicapped son, as most of you know. And the little kid that I'm talking about was born handicapped. Severely handicapped. He could not walk. And every day as his mother would go off to work, she would work for minimum wage in downtown Chicago. And every day she would leave for work, she just left her little boy on the floor of a little two-room apartment, just put him there on the floor. And a neighbor would check in on him every once in a while. But the mother would go off to work. In time, her son taught himself how to crawl. He would move himself with his arms. Could not move his legs, but he would pull himself with his arms from room to room. And even in time, this little boy that I'm talking about taught himself how to read. And one day, he read in the local paper, the newspaper, of a doctor who had come from a very far country to perform difficult and complicated surgery on a wealthy man's son. He read the article with great interest. When his mother came in that afternoon, the little kid said, Mama, Mama, read this. This sounds like exactly what's wrong with me. And as you can imagine, the mother read the article with great attention. Well, the next day, instead of getting ready to go to work, the mother dressed as best she could, and she caught a bus to downtown Chicago to find the office of this foreign doctor about whom she had read in the paper. She went inside, she walked up to the desk, and she said to the woman behind the desk, Ma'am, I read about that doctor in the paper. I'm here to see that foreign doctor. And the woman said, I'm sorry, he's not taking any other patients. He's here in the States for that one special case. And this mother said, but ma'am, you don't understand. I think my son has the same problem as that rich man's son. I've got to see the doctor. The lady behind the desk said, there's no way you can see the doctor. She didn't know what to do. She turned to leave. But in desperation, she ran past the desk and the woman. She ran down the hall. And as coincidence, perhaps providence would have it, she ran into the office where this foreign visiting doctor was. She fell down on her knees, crawled across the carpet. She got over to this doctor, grabbed him around the leg. She began to beg, sir, to this foreign doctor, sir, you've got to do something. Do something for my little boy as well. You can imagine the doctor was blown away. He was shocked. Didn't know what to say, how to respond. He said, ma'am, would you stand up? He lifted this woman up. He dried her tears. He said, tell me what's wrong. And this mother began to explain in the most minute detail what was wrong with her boy. She explained as best she could what was wrong with him and how desperately, earnestly she wanted surgery performed on her little boy as well. The doctor said, well, ma'am, do you have money? No, sir. Do you have insurance? Not a dime. He was silent, but then he responded. He said, ma'am, I tell you what, I'll examine your son, and if he needs my services, I'll give them free of charge. You know any doctors like that in Vallejo? Or San Francisco, or Sacramento. He said, I'll examine your boy, and if he needs my surgery, I'll do it. He said, I'll even go farther than that. I tell you what I'll do. I'll try to find a hospital that will dismiss all charges. Well, a few months later, surgery was done on this little boy, very successful surgery. And sometime after the surgery, the mother came to see the little boy. She daily did. When she walked in this day, he had a big old smile on his face. He was grinning from ear to ear. He said, Mama, Mama, stand over there by the window. I have a surprise for you. And the mother walked over to the window, put her arms behind her back. She looked out, and her son He had never done it before. But he slid out of his hospital bed and he limped on his own power across the room. And he got over to this mother, his mother, and he threw his arms around her waist. And as they hugged, they cried tears of joy, tears of happiness, tears of gratitude. A few days later, this doctor came to see the boy for the final time. He said, I'm sending you home, son, with some therapy. You're going to be okay. He said, I just want to ask you, is there anything else that we can do for you? Anything other than what we've done? And this kid began to cry. He began to cry. And he reached up and he grabbed the doctor around the neck. And he pulled the doctor's head down to his own head. And there they were, face to face, jaw to jaw, cheek to cheek. And the little boy said, Mister, to the doctor, sir, tears streaming down his little cheeks. He said, Mister, as long as there's a tongue wagging in my head, there ain't nobody that's ever going to forget what you have done for me. Ain't nobody, sir. Ain't nobody. And you know, brothers and sisters, if Jesus Christ, the great doctor, the great physician, George, sometimes we sing that song, the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. Well, if Jesus Christ, the great doctor, the great physician, has healed your soul, if you're saved and going to heaven, there ain't nobody. As long as you have a tongue wagging in your head, there ain't a soul that ever should forget how good God has been to you. See, our God is so good. What the Bible says about God, oh, He's a good God. He's a compassionate God. He's a merciful God. He's the Almighty God. He's the Most High God. Nothing is too hard for God. And if that's true, if you really believe that, well, yeah, let's seek Him personally. Let's pour out our hearts to Him. Let's draw near to Him. Let's seek Him. Seek a relationship with Him. But number two, we can't keep good news to ourselves. Let's share Him. Let's talk about Him. And it may be you going home tonight and getting on the phone and saying to old Sammy, hey, Sammy, I should have said something before tonight, but we're having a revival down at our church. Let's share our Lord. But in the third place, if nothing is too hard for the Lord, if God is the Most High God, if He's the Almighty God, let's not only seek Him and share Him, let's surrender. Let's submit to Him. Kind of like Samuel. What did Samuel say? Speak, Lord, I'll listen. Speak, Lord, I'll listen. I want to speak to you from a preacher standpoint, folks. It's a lot easier to preach it than to practice it. Do you know that? It's a lot easier to learn it than to live it. You know, I think most of us know what we call the golden rule. What's the golden rule? You know that, right? Matthew 7 and verse 12. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. We put it like this. Treat people like you want people to treat you. You know that, right? You've learned well, but are we living that? Are we submitting to that? Do we really treat other people with kindness? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Colossians 3 and verse 13. Do you really treat people like you want people to treat you? You know, I think most of us know that we ought to tell the truth. Six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination, two of them have to do with dishonesty. God says, I hate a lying tongue, I hate a false witness. You know, I mean, you were taught by your own mother, always tell the truth, right? Ephesians 4, verse 25, put away lying, speak every man truth with his... You know that, right? But are we submitting to that? Are we living that? Are we saying, Lord, I want to tell the truth. I never want to lie. You know, I think most of us know what Jesus taught in Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35, let me start and you finish it. It is more blessed to give than to... You've heard that verse all of your life, right? I mean, you know that the Bible teaches that the happy person is the giving person. Do you really believe that? You can answer that question by answering this question. What do you give to God on Sunday? Are you giving more this year than you gave last year? Do you really believe that the happy person is the giving person? Do you really believe what Jesus said in Luke 6:38? Give, and it shall be given to you. He did not say give in order to get. He did not say give to get. But Jesus did say, church, give, and you shall get. Do you believe that? Are we submitting to that? Are we listening to that? I think most of us know what one does to become a Christian. Acts 18 and verse 8, the Corinthians heard, they trusted, and they were baptized. But have we done that? We have some people who need to be baptized. Are you submitting to the Lord? See, if God is the Almighty God, don't just seek Him and don't just share Him as an individual. We've got to say, Lord, I'm here. Tell me what to do. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter. But he that is submitting to the will of my Father. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, haven't we done this and haven't we done that? And Jesus will say, I don't know you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I think as Christians, we all know James 5:16. Confess your sins one to another. Pray one for another. You've heard that. But are we living that verse? Are we submitting to that verse? Have you confessed your sins? Have I confessed my sins to anybody lately? Have I prayed for anybody lately? Has anybody prayed for me? Confess to one another and pray one for another. So what's going to happen tonight, folks? Tonight we have gathered to talk about God. We've sung to God, we've prayed to God, and we have studied from what we call God's Word. Who is this God? Well, many characteristics of God. I want to suggest to you tonight, He's the Most High God. He's the only God. He's the Almighty God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And if that's true, yes, let's seek Him and let's tell others about Him, share Him. But my, oh my, let's surrender. Let's submit to Him. So will anything good happen tonight? When you came to church, you probably did not come thinking, you know, when we sing that invitation song, I'm going to go forward. You probably did not plan on coming forward tonight. Let me just ask you, do you need to come forward? Is there anybody in the world that needs to come forward? Let's quit talking about the world. Let's talk about, is there anybody in this room who needs to come forward tonight? When was the last time you came forward in church? Just asking. When we sing the invitation song tonight, you're going to be hearing two voices. Two voices as we sing. First of all, you're going to be hearing the voice of God. God, the one that we studied about tonight. God's going to be saying, I love you. Please come. Would you please? You need to be baptized? Come tonight. You need to become a Christian? Come tonight. As a Christian, do you need to come clean? Come tonight. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the voice of God. God's going to be saying, I love you. Please come. Come tonight. And you know what Satan's going to be saying to you, the other voice? Satan's going to be saying, you know, God is right. Satan's going to be saying, oh, you need to come clean. You need to confess. You need to be baptized. You need to be prayed for. You need to come. But old Satan's going to be saying, what's the hurry? What's the hurry? You got plenty of time. Maybe tomorrow night. We're going to be back in church tomorrow night. Maybe you can come tomorrow night. Maybe this coming Sunday. Maybe next week. God's going to be saying, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And Satan's going to be saying, you know, God is right. You need to come. But what's the hurry? You have plenty of time. So my question tonight is, whose voice will you listen to? God or Satan? Wouldn't it be great if maybe 6 or 7 people could become Christians tonight? 10, 12, 15 could just say, hey, it's time for me to get back on track. Why don't you lead the way? I have a feeling if one comes, others are going to respond too. So why don't you lead the way? What the Bible says about God. That's what we've talked about. And now we're going to find out what you say about God. Let's stand and sing.